It's showtime, folks!
Ooh, so this is the thanks I get for working overtime.
Overtime!
Hello, good evening. Welcome into the fan-run studios of Fox Sports Knoxville. The show is overtime. And we're clocking in at 6:01 here on this Thursday. Thirsty Thursday here. Thirsty for some hard-hitting hot takes. Ain't that right, gentlemen? Ain't that right? I'm your host, Tanner Carson. To my left, for the third night in the row, man, getting a little bit of a treat here, man. We got Rick Butler on.
And we didn't play Enter Sandman again.
Damn it.
We had every opportunity.
Okay, we have to remember that. We'll remember that next week. And as always, up running the boards, up in the producer's perch, we got my producer, Cole McCormick. Cole, how are you doing today, sir?
I'm doing pretty good until I headed over here to the studios. Nobody seems to know how to drive in the rain. So it took me a lot longer than usual to get here.
Is it still raining?
Yes.
Yeah.
A little bit. Yeah. Not hard, but...
Yeah, not a lot, but enough for the idiots out there to slam on the brakes.
Well, be thankful that the snow did not reach down here.
Sure, yeah.
It seems like we're in like a... we have a shield that has kept us safe from the snow. Because I was seeing the video to the north and east of Knoxville. Man, it was coming down hard today.
Like, are we going to get snow?
I think Sunday they're calling for snow. Not tonight, I don't think. It's just a bunch of bleh weather outside. But yeah, there was snow around. Hamlin County lost snow. Granger, old Brandon Oryx's neck of the woods.
Mm-hmm.
You know, up in my old neck of the woods, Campbell County. It was snowing so bad, school had to be let out at 11 o'clock there. So yeah, it's been all around us, but thankfully it didn't come down here because, yes, people cannot drive in the rain around here. That is a fact.
Yep.
Oh, forget it if it starts snowing, especially when it first starts.
Yeah.
I mean, it's panic in the streets. It's like a zombie outbreak just occurred. People are scrambling. It's an absolute disaster.
It's like the beginning of Bird Box.
Yes.
Nobody wants to use their eyes.
No.
Everybody just,
everybody in Knoxville starts doing the Bird Box challenge out in their cars. Please don't do that while driving, or you're the biggest idiot possible.
You will kill everyone.
Yes, you will, and you're the reason why natural selection exists.
There have been deaths from the Bird Box challenge.
Yeah, yeah.
What are people thinking?
They aren't.
There you go, Cole. That's exactly right. They aren't. And I think have we as a society gotten more dumb? And then I realized no. There's always been idiots, but now with the internet, people just have more ample opportunity to show off their dumbassery.
That's a good point.
Ugh. Just don't do that, people.
No.
Just watch the movie at home and then enjoy it. If you want to do that challenge, make sure you're not driving. Make sure you're not endangering people.
Have you seen the movie?
I have.
I've not seen all of it. I know all what happens, though.
Did you like it, Cole?
I did. I enjoyed it. I don't know if it's one of those movies I'll go back and watch again, but just to see it once, yeah, it was good.
Okay, so here's what I did. I've read the entire plot too, like before it started being like really, really popular, I guess, just because it's like it seemed weird. And I'm a guy, I don't, unless I'm really anticipating a movie, I'll go ahead and like read a plot. Especially if I don't have a big interest in seeing it. So I already read it. It sounded kind of interesting. Then my stepdad and my stepbrother, they were watching it one night a couple weeks ago. And I kind of watched a little bit of it. It was okay. That's my experience.
I really loved it. Thought Sandra Bullock was great.
She's phenomenal.
Sandra Bee is always going to be great. She looked phenomenal.
Yeah, always. Yes. Always.
Favorite Sandra Bee role, or was that it? Is that your favorite Sandra Bee role, Rick?
Probably. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm going to be honest. The only other one that comes to my head right now is The Blind Side.
Have you not seen Gravity?
No, I haven't.
Mm-hmm. She was
very good in Gravity.
I'd have to say Blind Side is my favorite. Mm-hmm. She looked good in that one.
I never saw the new Ocean's movie they did.
I don't think a lot of people did either. I don't blame you.
I've never seen any. Miss Congeniality.
Yes, yeah,
I have seen that. That was funny.
Yes.
That was a funny movie.
Very good.
Nope, nothing else.
So would you say, Blindside's probably your favorite?
Yes.
Sandra Bee role?
No, I would say this one.
Bird Box?
Yes.
Sandra Bee did win an Oscar for Blindside, did she not?
I don't know.
Am I misremembering?
I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know.
I'm going to
say maybe. Look.
Okay, Rick, you go ahead and look. While you're doing that, let's go ahead and give an update to a story we talked about last night. We thought old Charles Kelly, Tennessee safeties coach / special teams coordinator, he was only going to have a one-year stay in Knoxville before departing for Maryland. Looked like he was set to join Mike Locksley's staff at Maryland as defensive coordinator. However, nope, no sirree. As of early this morning, all the reports that came out said that he will not be going to Maryland. He will be staying on Tennessee staff for the meantime.
Mm.
Now, there's a lot of ways to look at this story. You can look at it as, okay, he did not take the Maryland DC job because, okay, Mike Locksley's track record as a head coach going back to New Mexico, not glamorous. Only won 2 games as New Mexico's head coach. Yes, 2 entire games. He had some off-the-field controversy as well. You know, maybe he just didn't want to be at a program like Maryland. Maybe he realizes, okay, there's still something special coming on down here at Tennessee, and this isn't a long-term thing for me to be just a safeties coach and a special teams coordinator, but maybe I'll stick it out one more year. I'll try to get the recruiting done this one more cycle. Stay on one more season. You can look at it like that, or you can look at the other news that came about last night regarding a defensive coordinator, how Alabama defensive coordinator Tosh LePoy is going to be the defensive line coach for the Browns. Maybe he thinks old Nick might come a calling.
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, you got a good point. I feel like if it's either you take the Maryland job right now and you just kind of sit with it until that either runs out or maybe takes off for you a little bit, or you maybe wait out a year. You're right. You see if Saban calls, but if not, you have another good season. You know, your name is clearly out there a little bit more now. Maybe he gets a better opportunity down the road, but I think regardless, that's a win for Tennessee. I mean, I wouldn't like to see him go to Bama, but as we were talking about yesterday, he's a great coordinator or recruiting guy.
Yes.
So, I mean, that's great. That's great. We're keeping him around. Hopefully Bama doesn't snag him up, but I guess Pruitt and old Phil were able to keep him on the staff for a little bit longer.
The thing with the Maryland thing, man, Maryland's had a rough go of it here trying to get this staff together. With this news happening, now Mike Locksley's moving on to try to find a defensive coordinator. And, man, how about the Josh Gattis? He was set to become Maryland's offensive coordinator. In the 11th hour, Jim Harbaugh and Michigan has come on in there. And, Harbaugh probably showed up to his house shirtless wearing khakis. It's like, hey, you want the Michigan OC job?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'll take that. So, yeah, it's been a rough go of it. Charles Kelly probably thought a little long-term with the Maryland job, and given Mike Locksley's track record as a head coach in the past, maybe that wouldn't have been more than a 3-year stop there, and he would have had to been starting all over again from scratch, back down to a position coach. So that's maybe why he held off right there. And like we talked about, maybe waiting out one more year at Tennessee for a better offer, and maybe that better offer comes in the next couple of days down from Tuscaloosa. And you don't want to lose him, but you have to know somebody who's been a DC very recently at Power 5 school like Florida State, he's not going to stay a position coach on your staff for very long. And you know what? I mean, like we said, we've seen what's going on with Alabama and Georgia. You know, even the best programs have this happen. Just, you have to replace assistant coaches a lot. It happens. And I heard y'all talking about on the drive earlier on the way over here. Man, isn't it kind of, if you do lose in Alabama, you can at least say, hey, when has Alabama came calling to get a guy from our staff? Especially Nick Saban's Alabama.
Not any time that I've been following Tennessee.
I mean, that is a positive to take away from that, would it not?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And I do think that, say he does leave to go there, like, we talked about it yesterday. Like, none of us were that, you know, none of us were distraught that he was leaving, and we found the positives if he was to leave and how you would kind of fill those spots and what might open up. And so the same still rings true for Alabama. Yes, it's considerably worse that he is going to Alabama out of all places, but like it's not the end of the world.
No.
And we talked plenty about that yesterday.
Yeah, it's definitely not going to be the end of the world, but that'll be something to see if he does get a call from Nick Saban. But we talked about this when the Tasha Poyne news broke. Where would Nick Saban go? Well, you're Nick Saban, you're Alabama, you can basically go anywhere.
Yeah.
You can basically go anywhere to get a DC. And I know Charles Kelly has a pretty solid resume. I would think he would not be on the really, really short list, though. That's no offense to Charles Kelly, but Nick Saban can really poach whoever he wants to, and not just college. I mean, talking from the NFL as well.
Mm.
So also keep that in mind. Would you think he'd be on a short list, possibly?
I don't think so.
I do feel like it kind of would be a stretch. I would definitely be surprised if that is who they ended up going with.
I'll be surprised if they do not promote from within like they always do. I forgot what that guy's name is, but the assistant DC, just go ahead and plug him in. Why not? You've been doing it for seems like years now. Keep it rolling. He's been there. He knows how to run the system. Let's just keep going.
I will tell you this news that just dropped recently about a Tennessee assistant who will be leaving. How about this here? Nothing to go over to the breaking news desk about. And don't think this guy serves. I mean, this is a name we've heard of. Tell me if he serves an on-the-field role or not, because I don't think he does. But this is from Football Scoop. University of Tennessee assistant to the head coach, John Lilly, will be joining the Cleveland Browns.
Hmm.
As tight end coach.
Assistant to the head coach?
Yes.
I wouldn't think he has any on-field duties.
What were his roles, I wonder?
But didn't he have, wasn't near the end of the season, he was one of the names I heard floated about he was giving his input for the play calling and his input on the offense.
Oh, okay. Well,
were we very happy about the offense?
No.
No?
No, not really.
Not particularly.
I mean, if he's doing that, then I would think he's more of an advisor, if I had to guess, for Pruitt. I'm sure he's somebody Pruitt trusts, and so he asks his opinion. Because looking at his profile right here on utsports.com, he's not an old guy, but he's an older guy.
Yeah.
So I'm sure it's somebody Pruitt's known for a while and wanted him on staff for his first year as a head coach to run some stuff by him, maybe.
I did see the news from Football Scoop. Rick, you probably know this guy, or at least heard of him. Alex Marvez actually broke this news. All Elite Wrestling. How about that?
Finally!
Sources tell me.
Opening segment of overtime. Bring us some wrestling.
Sources tell me John Lilly will be the new Browns tight ends coach. So there you go. Sirius XM NFL radio host / All Elite Wrestling, Alex Marvez, breaking some Tennessee football news. How about that? How about that, Rick? It came full circle for you.
I thought we were going to talk about wrestling.
Oh. Well, I name dropped AEW, man.
Yeah, we did do that.
John Lilly, his background. John Lilly was a longtime Georgia assistant. He recently coached tight ends for the Rams back in 2016. So something he's very familiar with, coaching tight ends in the NFL. So there's just some news. An assistant will be leaving. Not Charles Kelly, at least not yet. So there you go. Not the biggest groundbreaking news, but I mean, always interesting to see where these staff shakeups go.
You're right. And also not the most devastating news.
No,
not. I mean, yeah, it'll hurt to lose these guys. You know, the guys who are leaving or
really
who might.
John Lilly.
Well, no, yeah, I mean, Cole was right. He clearly was a guy that Pruitt trusts, but you're right. And also, if he did have kind of a hand in the offensive play calling, I remember using a lot of expletives when watching the offense towards the end of last year.
Rick, did you find out if Sandra Bullock won an Oscar for The Blind Side?
Yeah, I did. She did.
What was it?
Best performance by an actress. In A, do you think it's leading or supporting?
Leading.
Now, I almost feel like this is a trick question because you would think she was leading, so I'm going to say supporting.
Go with your gut, Tanner Carson. Leading role.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to be a contrarian.
She was also nominated 4 years later for the same award for Gravity.
Nice.
She did not win.
Well, she's got one at least. It's okay.
Yeah.
Good for old Sandra B. So, yeah, Rick, Got to drop some All Elite Wrestling. How happy are you?
Pretty darn happy.
Do you,
I mean,
off the top of your head, do you want 30 seconds to close out the segment to talk about All Elite Wrestling?
Yeah, okay, so big
news. 3, 2, 1, go!
Oh, I already started. Big news drop today. Famous Jim Ross is joining the All Elite Wrestling crew. So even if you don't know what All Elite Wrestling is, you know the, by God, he killed him! You know that. You've seen it on Twitter a bunch of times.
10 seconds.
That guy, Attitude Era, is coming to join Cody Rhodes and the Young Bucks. That should be fun.
Do you want to use the last 5 seconds for anything?
No.
Okay, time's up.
Done.
Good job, Rick. Condensing it very well. A true professional.
Thank you.
True professional, Rick Butler is. We got to be true professionals and take a break here. Give quick words from our sponsors. Thank you. 865-546-8200 is our number. You want to hop in on the show tonight. Got a lot of great stuff taking you up till 8 o'clock this evening. More of Overtime is coming up after this. Stick with us on Fan Run Radio. Back here on Overtime, we're on the long here, 865-546-8200. Top on the Fan Run phone lines here. Talked a little bit about some minor staff news for the Vols. I mean, not to downgrade any importance here, but I mean, it's Charles Kelly, definitely the big name to watch right now. And with the addition of T. Martin, you don't know who else we could be looking forward to leave on the staff to create some room, so... Certainly, with it still being mid-January, it's still the prime time for a lot of staff shakeups around the country. So, anything could drop, like, any minute. Hopefully during our show, so we can pass it along.
Fingers crossed.
Be the first ones to break it to you. Go over to the breaking news desk.
Fingers crossed.
Be very nice. I think it'd be very, very nice right here. Oh, but some other news pertaining around Tennessee athletics here. Uh-oh. Got some NCAA violations. Oh, no. Had to self-report him today. Oh, no. We in trouble.
Yes.
We in trouble.
We're in deep doo-doo.
Oh, no. It's not that bad. Not even close to
Are we getting
that.
The death penalty, Tanner? Just lay it on me,
God,
man.
I hope so.
Just tell me now.
I don't have to care about football anymore. No, we're not getting the death penalty.
If we get the death penalty, are we all just walking out of this studio until we're done? Is there anything to talk about
there's
at that point?
There's still basketball.
We got a number 3 basketball team.
Yeah.
Who's killing everybody.
Yeah, I was kind of under the
softball
assumption
season
that
starts very
all
soon.
Sports,
softball's
I've
good.
Forgotten about it.
Softball's very good.
Talk about the Lady Vols.
Yeah. And how Holly needs to get G-I-T.
Get. Go on, get.
Let's talk about these self-reported NCAA violations. Oh, Philip Fulmer himself got one.
Tattled on ourselves?
Back to the old days, yeah. You know, schools do this all the time, especially when
they're
the very minor ones. Because if you self-report them, you get the littlest of little slap on the wrist. It's all about the compliance department. Yada, yada. Tennessee's athletics director, Philip Fulmer, was attending a practice last fall and saw a couple of offensive linemen whom he thought needed some coaching assistance during the drill. Shocker.
Hmm.
So, Fulmer, who, of course, once an offensive lineman, always an offensive lineman, he jumped right in practice and coached him up. Old habits, man. They die hard. However, that was an NCAA violation.
Hmm.
Fulmer's unauthorized participation in practice was among 8 NCAA violations that the school reported during the last 6 months of 2018. Tennessee released a report detailing the violations to the USA Today network, and I'm reading off the Knoxville News Sentinel story here. So, yeah, basically, when they say that, that means they detail them right to the News Sentinel.
Way to go, local.
This was in a public records request. The compliance department happily obliged, as I mean, they're legally required to. Fulmer's infraction was among 3 violations by the football program during the 6-month period. How about this? just talked about Holly and the Lady Vols. The women's basketball program also had 3 violations.
Ooh.
Oh, interesting.
Men's basketball and softball had 1 each.
Mm. Okay.
All the violations were, of course, very minor. Level 3 resulted in just mild discipline. Mm. For the year 2018, Tennessee self-reported 14 violations, all of which were level 3. Mm. And Andrew Donovan... had the pleasure of interviewing back in the day, back doing Phil Kaplan's class.
Ooh.
He is UT's Associate Athletics Director for Compliance. He said level 3 violations are a byproduct of a healthy compliance program. See, it's healthy for committing violations.
This is healthy cheating.
He said this to the New Sentinel. There are thousands of NCAA rules and interpretations of those rules, so it is expected that inadvertent minor violations can occur on occasion. We have a strong culture of compliance at the University of Tennessee. Our coaches and staff are fully committed to doing things the right way. They view compliance as a shared responsibility and hold themselves and each other accountable.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, how about that?
Yeah.
I'll give you a slap on the wrist right here. So, of course, the most notable violation here is the one old Papaw Phil himself got.
Right.
Just for jumping in there. He saw how Will Friend was probably just slacking off in practice. Offensive lineman probably couldn't block a sponge wall.
Wow.
I mean, okay. It was probably true.
Yeah, you're
Fuller
not wrong.
Probably got disgusted by some of the stuff he was seeing out there in those offensive lineman drills.
It was nasty.
So how about this? Philip Fulmer's discipline? The specific bylaw he violated was NCAA bylaw 11.7.1. Point one.
Wow.
Ooh,
how did he not know of that? How did he not know?
It pertains to the number and duties of coaches. The bylaw states that an institutional staff member must count against coaching staff limits if he engages in technical or tactical instruction with players, assist in tactical decisions during games or practice, or engages in off-campus recruiting.
Hmm. Okay.
Fulmer regularly attends and observes Tennessee football practices. These do not, of course, violate any NCAA bylaws. His violation occurred during a September 11th practice, according to the violations report. So back in the early season, man, when that line was probably really struggling.
Really rough. Yeah.
Said really Fulmer, rough. Quote, provided brief encouragement / instruction to 2 football student athletes who were engaged in a blocking drill, the report states. The encouragement / instruction lasted less than 30 seconds. Probably walked up to him and said, how the hell did you guys get on scholarship?
Yeah. What is that?
What are you doing? Oh, this statement here. The director of athletics is a former football coach. He was acting on instinct, communicating encouragement / instruction to 2 offensive linemen as he walked past the drill while viewing the team's practice. Former self-reported himself, by the way.
Well, good for him. Honest
so
man.
There we go. Immediately. Ah, I committed a violation.
If that video had
ain't
never...
the first time.
If there was never video of it, do you think you would have reported it?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah,
probably.
Level 3. You ain't going to get in trouble. I think his punishment here, I'm trying to find the exact day. Yeah, here it is. The SEC ruled that Fulmer was prohibited from attending practice for 5 days.
Oh, ooh. No.
5 days.
What's he going to do?
Keep his bees, get some honey. Who knows? And that UT educate all coaches and non-coaching staff members on bylaws pertaining to coaching activity. The NCAA took no additional action. I wonder what that education was from UT. Probably just a quick email to Pruitt. And like, hey, don't let Phil coach again.
Mm-hmm.
Pruitt's like, all right, sure.
Okay.
I mean, I don't really care.
What was that?
How embarrassing was that to Will Friend? You bet.
Yeah. All right, well, move over.
It's like, oh, God, I got my boss coming in here because I'm not coaching him up well enough.
You obviously don't know what you're doing.
Is that a bad indictment on Will Friend, even though this happened back in September?
I mean...
It's kind of embarrassing, man. It's
yeah,
kind
but
of embarrassing a little.
He's done a lot of embarrassing things, a.k.a. the entire way he's coached the offensive line for the most part.
That's a good point.
Just as embarrassing,
That's
if
good
not
point.
More.
See, I'm trying to see what the other sports infractions were because I looked at the other football violations. It's just the dumbest, most boring stuff you can imagine, so I'm not even going to share it. Let's see the Lady Vols violations here. In one instance, an assistant coach had communication with a recruit before receiving permission to contact from the recruit's previous institution. In the other case, Coach Holly Warlick and an assistant coach spoke at the National Exposure Basketball Report Coaches Clinic. That's a lot of words. They could have just had an acronym for that. Several other D1 coaches attended too. NCAA bylaws prohibit athletic staffers from working or volunteering at a camp or a clinic established or sponsored by a recruiting service.
Okay.
Oh, no. Holly, the big rule breaker here.
Yeah, this is the final straw. I'll see you.
Yeah, I know. You're right.
Here's the men's violation.
Not a level three to me. Yeah.
Let's see what good Deacon Barnes, just the nasty stuff he's got running on behind the scenes at the program here. You want to hear the one men's basketball violation?
Give it to me.
Oh, here it is.
Did he, like, use the wrong color Gatorade?
Prepare yourself. This is going to make you feel sick. The men's basketball violation occurred when a former player gave a current player a ticket to a premium seating area for UT's home football game against ETSU.
I'm done.
The ticket was deemed an impermissible extra benefit. As part of UT's discipline, the current player repaid the value of the benefit, a whole $25.
I'm done.
To charity.
I'm done.
The Emerald Youth Foundation.
I'm done.
Yeah, shut it down.
Damn, a whole $25.
End it. I mean, if we have these kind of criminals our program.
First, it's getting a premium ticket to ETSU. Next, you know, Rick Barnes is going to cover up a murder like they did at Baylor back in the day and Dave Bliss. Oh, awful stuff. I wonder how many free Ferraris, Admiral Schofield, E. Ponce have been given to them. Shameful. Shameful stuff. Boo. I thought better of you, Rick Barnes. Bunch of criminals. I cannot believe it. Sir, I am shocked. I am utterly shocked, sir.
I am shook.
Shooketh.
I am shook.
That was fun. None of these matter.
No.
It's fun to act like they matter, though. Oh, the funniest one's always going to be Phil.
Yeah.
He had enough. He had literally seen enough of this bleep.
Yeah.
He had to jump in there.
How much you want to bet he didn't even know Wilfred's name? look here, buddy.
Dale.
Yeah, look
buddy.
Here.
Sorry, buddy.
Look here, bud.
Hey, coach, can you move over a step? I got to come in and show these boys the right way to do
it. Show them how it's done here, all right? Leave me alone.
Have I told you about my bees?
Did you know I had a beer made from the bees' honey?
Yeah.
It's a pretty good beer. I've had it.
Have you?
Yeah, had it at Hops.
Oh, interesting.
They don't have it on tap anymore. It's like a limited time thing. Pretty good, though. Hmm. Pretty good. All right, we have to reset here. 865-546-8200. Cannot believe it. Tennessee Athletics, so dirty. Former coaching up the linemen.
Cole, how do you feel wearing a Tennessee hat right now?
Disgusting.
And a jacket and a shirt.
I just feel dirty.
Got on fire, man.
Yeah, I know. I just feel dirty. Should. I mean, it's in Knoxville, Mississippi. I mean, come on.
You're right.
Damn, I hope Ray Parnes doesn't have any burner phones. We'll be right back after this break. I don't know what we plan on talking about here, but Rick, just before we came back from break, pretty good question.
Yeah, so Bleacher Report. Okay, so there are 5 current NBA players who have been with their current team for the last decade.
John Reed's currently standing right outside the door here. He's very interested
John,
in this.
John, if you have a guess, just yell it.
I'm sure he'll know, but, well, I think John will know more than Miracle.
Definitely know more than me.
John is the NBA guy. Okay, I know one off the top of my head.
2 point guards and 3 big men.
So at least 10 years. Well, Dirk, first of all.
Dirk is correct.
So, yeah.
2 point guards and 2 big men. Mike Conley is incorrect. That's wrong. Mike Conley's right. That's not according to the Bleacher Report article.
Is this an article from today?
Yes, it said.
Did Mike Conley get drafted in 08?
Yeah,
that would. John said he got drafted in 07.
Well, here's the thing. The article said these 6 players, but then the picture only has 5. So I guess Mike Conley might be 6.
So Conley be 6 then.
Okay. So you still have 4 more to go.
Okay, let me get another guess here. Ooh, man. That's a good question because, like, who stays
think,
with...
you got 2 elite point guards.
Is this 10 consecutive years? This is no breaks.
This is 10 consecutive years.
Okay, so D-Wade's not... he doesn't count. Damn. So, okay, I got one big man. Give me a hint for a point guard.
Okay, for a point guard, both of these guys have been to a championship during their run with their team. One of the big men is fairly local. Yes, Mark Gasol is one of them.
Yeah. Damn, okay, I'm not as good as I thought.
The two point guards, one of them has won a championship. The other did not in his one appearance. Yes, Steph Curry.
Well, yeah, it does.
So, yeah, Dirk, Steph.
Steph was one of the first people I thought, but then I thought, like, wait, are we counting 09 already?
Doesn't say. It just said it has been with their respective franchise for at least a decade.
10 calendar years, okay. Okay, so not 10 seasons. The other,
he has been known as a selfish player in the past. Westbrook? Yes, Westbrook.
Yeah.
So you have Dirk Westbrook, damn. Steph Gasol.
Damn, has been within that.
The
long.
Last one is very hard. He is a Eastern team. They have been to the championship a couple of times during his run, but he's not one of the big players that you would expect. No.
Think
a little more south than Tristan Thompson.
So is this a big man?
Yes. The word south is a pretty big hint. Yes, Udonis Haslem
is still playing. That's
John
right.
John nailed all of them except Dirk. But that's because Tanner said it first. So you have Dirk Nowitzki, Russell Westbrook, Steph Curry, Marc Gasol, Udonis Haslem, and Mike Conley.
Well, good for them.
Good for them.
Good
and
for
it's,
them.
It's funny because the picture that they posted, most of them, for the most part, look like little babies. Right? Here you go. But then at the top, you have Dirk.
Wow.
And you have Dirk still kind of looks like an old man.
Yeah.
He's got crazy long hair. Just, he's still got his ostrich way of movement.
You don't think of Steph and Westbrook being with their team for 10 years, but it has really been that long.
Because even the picture that they put of Steph Curry, they have the old Warriors uniforms. Yeah. So they did the whole rebrand in that time as well.
But the face still looks the same, man. He's the babyface assassin.
Yeah.
Always will be.
Exact same hair.
Man, that's hard to believe about Russ, though.
Yeah, it is kind of
crazy. Russ is getting old. Good Lord.
Udonis Haslem used to have cornrows. Now he does not.
Former Gator, Udonis Haslem. Boo.
Oh, he was. He stayed in Florida. Yeah.
Like his entire career in Florida. Wow, crazy. Well, thank you, Rick. That was fun. I'm glad I got one. I mean, I'm glad I got Dirk, of course. You would be really ashamed of me if I forgot Dirk.
I would have given you some bigger hints, some more obvious hints as we would have gone. For instance, you've been to a lot of finals.
Yeah. But John is just too good.
John nailed him.
John's too good. I mean, he is the all-season NBA watcher. Not a big shocker there. Last couple of minutes we have before we take a next break, because that did fill up a lot of time. That was pretty fun. I like stuff like that. This Saturday, 2 o'clock, Tennessee, of course, taking on the Alabama Crimson Turd.
It's a good one.
The game's a sellout, officially. I think it has been for a while, but...
I need to request my student ticket.
Or did it recently become a sellout? Either way...
It's been a sellout.
It's going to be a sellout. It's pretty good. Let you know that you got a pretty good team on hand that people really need to see when you're facing an unranked 11-5 Bama team. Mm. Yeah, that's a 500 in conference right now. Alabama isn't coming into the game a completely wounded duck, though. They did get a road win at Conzo Martin. In Missouri.
Quan Zone.
It was a 70-60 win for the Alabama Crimson Tide. Hands! Yeah, 70-60. Missouri sucks. Hate to see it. They start out 0-3 in conference play.
Mm.
Yikes!
Such sweet kids over there.
Absolutely. Yeah, so, Bama. Bama's been a mystery type of team. Kind of up and down all season, especially SEC play. Of course, don't forget, just recently, they opened up conference play at home, mind you, but they did beat Kentucky 77-75. Almost let that one get away from them, though. They are very lucky Kentucky did not come back and win that game. Then the next game, on the road to LSU, the Tigers get that one in a 9-point victory. And then they went back at home against a pretty bad Texas A&M team, lost at the buzzer. 81-80, the Aggies win. But then, as I just said last night, going on the road to win at Mizzou. Up and down, so that means they're due for an ass kick. What?
There's no more student tickets. I waited too long.
Rick!
Oh my gosh, my last basketball season, I screwed up my first game.
You gotta know.
You haven't been to a game yet?
You had to know this was gonna be a hot ticket, man.
I mean, I was gone for winter.
This is the first opportunity I've had. Because on Tuesday versus Arkansas, we were here.
That's true.
That's a good point. Well, there's plenty more,
Rick,
coming up.
He looks like Macaulay Culkin right now.
Yeah,
that's
what I was going for.
Alabama, weird team. Other losses, man, some really weird losses. Early in the season, in their tournament game, they lost to, get this, they lost to Northeastern 68-52. Northeastern, I said. They lost at UCF, so now we know UCF can beat Alabama. Lost by 6 to the Knights.
I feel like that should have been a bigger story.
Yeah, I do too.
At least for like satire reasons.
Some people made some memes out of it. It went away quickly. And then at home against old Ron Hunter's Georgia State Panthers, lost by 3, 83-80. Then they reeled off some wins before they lost to LSU. They beat Arizona by 3 at home. They beat Penn State at home. Neither Arizona, Penn State, too good, though. They went to Stephen F. Austin.
Oh,
Why did they go to Stephen F. Austin?
Axum Jacks.
That seems like the dumbest road game possible.
Did you know that Avery Johnson Jr., I went to high school with, and he played on my high school basketball team, and Avery Johnson was at all the games?
Really?
I did not know that.
Could you hear a squeaky voice all the way from where you were sitting?
His son does play for him.
Yeah.
Because he went to Bama with a couple other of our basketball players.
He actually scored 14 points in the win over Mizzou.
He's not bad.
So watch out for
Avery Johnson Jr.
Avery Jr.
AJJ.
Watch out for old Avery Jr. here this Saturday. Let's see. Of course, they lost Colin Sexton. Thank God. Glad we don't have to play him again. Yeah, 14 points off the bench, yeah, Avery Johnson. Dante Hall still plays for Alabama. I'm just looking up down the scoreboard. It feels like Dante Hall has been there forever. And then they have, where is he? Oh, Petty. John Petty. Yeah. Dude with the really crazy hair. Sideshow Bob hair. Other than that, they got the Norris dude. Dude can hit threes pretty well. Other than that, I don't know a lot about that team. We'll talk more about it tomorrow, but we're not. We're not worried at all, are we?
Even though
we got bad luck playing Alabama sometimes, I feel like this is a little different. And thank God we're not going down the Coleman. I'd be very worried if we went down the Coleman. That place is a nightmare to play.
It is.
Them and Stegman.
We don't have good luck there either.
I don't like playing there or Stegman. Mm. And we used to not have good luck playing at the Hump until last year. Went the Hump last year.
Yeah.
Thank God they're coming up here. But yeah, I expect it to be students. Students were pretty good on Tuesday night's game. Pretty loud. I saw a good turnout down there. And, of course, the crowd was great for a Tuesday night game. It's going to be even more electric come Saturday. And I expect the students, I expect the Rocky Top Rallies to be on their best performance, on their best behavior. And then after that, you go to Vandy. Anybody catch Vandy's game against South Carolina?
I did. I watched it last night.
Oh.
Horrible.
No, what happened?
Vandy let a 12-point lead late in the second half. Slip away.
Yep.
Oof. South Carolina, they have lost to Wofford, Stony Brook, and Wyoming, and they are 4-0 in the SEC. Granted, they've not played great teams, but damn it, they're finding ways to win close conference games.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is with Frank Martin, man.
He's
going to be around.
He scares me.
They're just going to always be around.
He scares me.
Frank Martin is a scary person.
Not as a coach, but just as a person.
He is a scary person.
Not a guy you would want to see in a dimly lit back alley.
Not at all.
You know he was a bouncer in Miami.
That is
in his younger days.
That does not shock me whatsoever.
In the 80s, man. It had to be rough, yes. While he was both going to school and assistant coaching.
Sheesh.
Wow.
Frank Martin's, man, he's worked his way to the top, but dude, he's just, I think he's the last coach I would
mess with. Started from the bottom, now he's here.
Quite literally.
Yeah.
As a Final Four. Yeah. SEC's weird, man. SEC has been very, very weird. Hit this next break here. We got one more segment to go in hour number one of Overtime. 865-546-8200 is our number. Back after this here on Fox Sports Knoxville. We'll be right back.
rolling along here on OT. Our final segment, hour number one here, 865-546-8200. Jump on the Fan Run phone lines, guys. I'm very excited today. Very excited today. You know why? Because the first official trailer for John Wick Chapter 3 dropped.
Oh, my. I haven't gotten a chance to watch it yet.
Got John Wick there. It looks like there's one scene. He's at a library. He killed someone with a book.
Classic.
I'm going to watch it right now.
I love John Wick.
Classic.
I think John Wick, the full title, by the way, John Wick Chapter 3, Parabellum.
Parabellum.
Ooh.
It's the number one move video on YouTube at the moment.
It should be. It comes out May 17th. Kicks off the summer movie season. It's probably going to be the best movie of the entire summer movie.
These original movies like are so refreshing too. Like I know this is a sequel, right? But it wasn't based on some book.
Not a comic book movie.
Not a comic book movie.
It's not a. It's not a remake.
It's not Disney trying to take some terrible book that you only have to read in elementary school, like A Wrinkle in Time, and try to make it into some big blockbuster.
What are they thinking?
It's going to be
so Keanu weird. Reeves is just the man.
Keanu Reeves went from being somebody who was made fun of a lot to being very well respected.
Have you guys seen the movie The Replacements?
I have not seen The Replacements.
With Shane Falco?
No.
The Washington Sentinels?
No.
Keanu Reeves as Shane Falco?
No, I haven't seen The Replacements.
He blew it in the Sugar Bowl?
No.
But then he came back?
No, I haven't. Hey,
that is the greatest sports movie of all time. You need to go watch it. The Replacements. It is amazing. Also, this trailer looks very good.
Give you the quick rundown here for what old John will have to deal with in Chapter 3. Still on the run following his assassination of Santonio D'Antonio.
It looks like he's going to have to deal with Lawrence Fishburne.
In the Continental.
It looks like people are throwing knives at his private parts.
Yeah.
He stuffed a book in a man's mouth and then killed him with it.
You know why he's having to do all this? He has a $14 million global contract on his head in this movie. John Wick
excommunicated
from every Continental service, which forces him to fight his way out of New York City with the help of a hit woman played by Halle Berry.
Let me tell you, dude.
You still trust him.
John Wick killed a man while he was on a horse.
Yeah, he did.
In the street.
Have you?
And now he's in Egypt? What is this? What?
It's global.
This is incredible.
It's going global, man.
Oh, man, that's like Catwoman, right?
Yeah. Halle Berry is more just Catwoman.
Nah, she's Catwoman, dude. John Wick, Chapter 3.
John Wick at the end of his wick.
Parabellum.
When the first John Wick came out, I did not see it in theaters. I saw people start talking about it, and I thought people were joking about it because I know the stigma around some Keanu Reeves films. I get that. But then I actually sat down and watched it. I'm like, oh, my God, this is amazing. And wouldn't you know it, as soon as I watched the first one, well, Chapter 2 came out in theaters a couple months later. So you're damn right my ass was in the movie theater to see
Chapter 2. I watched John Wick late as well.
Dude, I love it. For the reasons you said, Rick, it's a refreshing movie.
Yeah.
And it's good. And the action movie is something that has so many cliches. So many cliches in that genre. So many played out type of things that happen in this genre of movie. But it's different. It's just different. It's fun to see. It keeps you on the edge of your seat. And it's also got a very interesting plot. It's just well done.
How about maybe in competition for one of the most infuriating scenes, but one of the best payoffs?
You talking about early in the first one?
Yeah. They killed the dog.
Spoiler, they do kill his dog.
But then you get the line, "You stole my car and killed my dog." And then all of them dead.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Every one of them.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
One of my favorite lines from the first one.
"You stole my car."
"People have been asking if I'm back, and I haven't really been quite sure what the answer is. But now, yeah, I'm thinking I'm back."
The first one had a Reek from Game of Thrones in it.
Yep.
I had forgotten about that.
Low-key, great cast here. And, of course, Lawrence Fishburne going to be back in this one.
Lawrence Fishburne.
Lance Reddick in this one as well.
Who?
Lance Reddick. You know what he looks like. He's been a bunch of stuff. He's been in Oz. He's been The Wire. He's been in Lost. Lance Reddick has been in everything.
Oh, he was in the first. He was in the first two, right?
Yeah. He's also been doing some video game roles as well. Horizon Zero Dawn, Quantum Break, in the Destiny franchise.
He's in the he's in Destiny?
Commander Zavala.
Oh my goodness!
Yeah, I told you.
Man,
you know
I put
him.
In like 600
Don't you
hours
know
into
him?
That
yeah.
game. Greatest video. Game
John Wick Chapter 3. Go see it. Go see it in theaters. You won't regret it. Man, love me some Keanu Reeves now, man.
What was Absolutely. The what was the stigma around him? Why did people make fun of him?
It's just his, I don't know, just like his acting style, I guess.
Hmm.
What was it like? A lot of people thought he just came off as like just an idiot, very boring.
And I could see it.
The whoa!
I could see it.
Whoa! Yeah. I guess like all the way from Bill and Ted, even though Bill and Ted was great. Of course, The Matrix.
Yeah, classic.
At least the first one.
Yeah.
I don't know about the next two, but the first one, very good. That does it for us in this first hour. We got one more hour of overtime still to come here, taking you up till 8 o'clock. Stick with us here on Overtime.
Hiding in a hiding place where no one ever goes. Put it in your pantry with your cupcakes.